Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here today on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And we've got a special program lined up this afternoon, and we'll get into things here in just a moment. But just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can go to our website to watch some or listen to the old programs as well if you missed some of them. But in addition, I wanted to mention that you can check us out on our YouTube page. Trying to think what our YouTube page is called there for Live with Pastor Al. You can just search for Live with Pastor Al on YouTube there, and you'll find that. And we're trying to get the YouTube running here yet this afternoon, and it'll be on hopefully shortly. We'll get that going as well. But in the meanwhile, just want to mention to you, we're having a special program today for National Hospice Month. Every year we try to do a special program on hospice and what it is, what it isn't, the important things to know about that. And I'm going to have us on YouTube, but I don't think it's going to work. Something's not working with YouTube, so we're not going to have YouTube on here today. I just don't have time unless I can get to it here somewhere during the program. But we have Michael Tripodi with us here this afternoon. He's in the studio today, and he is the community liaison for Grace Hospice. And Michael, welcome to the program today.
Well, thanks, Pastor Al. I appreciate you having me. I'm a strong advocate for hospice and what it offers for patients and families, and I take every opportunity I can get to help educate the community about what's available to them.
Well, and you know, hospice is such a wonderful service, and just for our listeners, many of them know both my mom and dad were on hospice as well at the end of their lives, and my wife, of course, is a hospice nurse as well, working for Grace Hospice, so full disclosure there.
Right.
But I think hospice is tremendous, and I also think it's very misunderstood. So we're going to delve into some of those things here today, but before we get too far afield, how can people contact you if they want to find out more information about hospice, or they just have questions, or they're interested in the service? What would be best thing for them to do?
Well, let me start by saying that Grace Hospice has multiple locations throughout northeastern Ohio. So we have an office in Middleburg Heights, we have an office in Mentor, we have an office in Akron that serves the southern area. We have offices throughout the remainder of the state, Toledo, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton, etc. All of those office locations can be found on www.ghospice.com. And there's a wealth of information on our website about what hospice is, and any of those offices can be contacted through that website. And then I always give out my personal cell number, and I'm not afraid to do that because I make myself available to help people find the answers they're looking for. So they can reach me directly at 330-289-1567, and I'll be more than happy to help steer them in the right direction and answer questions.
All right, and I appreciate that, and I've also have some of that information on our Facebook page as well, and I think a link to your Grace Hospice's website there as well. But Mike, as we're talking about hospice here, You know, there's a lot of things that people wonder about hospice, and I think one of the things I remember most when my wife Kim first started in hospice, she had been in long-term care for a number of years, and a number of people who had gone on to work in hospice kept telling her, "Oh, you should work in hospice. You'd be perfect for it." And so she made the switch, and she's enjoyed it. But I remember her mom saying, "Hospice? Why, people go there and they just die."
Yeah, that's a common misunderstanding. And to clarify, Pastor Al, first of all, let's address, it's not a place. Hospice is a alternative philosophy of care, and it's meant for patients with a life-limiting illness. So if your physician and a hospice medical director agree that your prognosis is likely 6 months or less, hospice would be an appropriate alternative because we focus on comfort, quality of life, pain management, managing distressing symptoms. And it's not a place that you have to go. Hospice services are brought right to you in the comfort of your own home or an assisted living facility, a long-term care facility, sometimes in the hospital if that's necessary and appropriate. But hospice is more a philosophy of care than an actual place.
And I like how you brought that out because, you know, both of my parents, like I said, were on hospice, and they both were able to remain in their home until the very end in both cases. And with my dad, he was very active up until really the very end. And then my mom, on the other hand, had to be basically in a bed, and hospice service brought in the bed, a hospital bed, into the room. We had that set up in the house, and that happens in other things. How does that work? If somebody's curious, because, you know, people think, well, you got to go to the hospice, this place. How can they do this in your home?
Well, and to be clear, there are freestanding hospice facilities, but very, very few patients ever cross the threshold of that door. Most patients want to remain at home in familiar surroundings with loved ones nearby when the ultimate outcome is going to be life-limiting. So we provide all the medical equipment necessary. We provide all the medications necessary for their comfort. We even offer supplies. For example, if they have wound care needs or incontinence, those supplies are provided. The nurse comes out to the home on a weekly basis, sometimes two or three times a week. Home health aid services to assist with personal care. We have social work services, chaplain services, volunteers. It's a comprehensive program meant to provide everything necessary to support the patient and the family as they walk this journey right in the comfort of their own home.
Now, some people might be thinking, well, this sounds awful expensive.
Yeah, and nothing could be further from the truth because, by and large, the vast majority of patients that we care for are on Medicare, and Medicare pays 100% for hospice services, and there's no copay, no deductible, no out-of-pocket expense whatsoever. And it's important to mention that it doesn't matter what managed Medicare plan you have. You can have Anthem, Aetna, Humana, Blue Cross. It doesn't matter who your managed Medicare provider is. When you elect the hospice benefit to focus on comfort care, we bill traditional Medicare, red, white, and blue. We take the Medicare assignment. The patient and family have no financial obligation whatsoever.
You know, and I can attest to that because my family been through it twice, you know, with my mom and my dad. And the other thing that I find that's great with hospice, especially when the patient is at home, is this extra sets of eyes that are on the patient, extra set of ears listening to the patient, extra set of hands caring for the patient. You talked about the nurse coming in and others coming in from time to time. And, of course, I just wanted to share a Bible verse here. There's a Matthew chapter 25, verse 36, where Jesus is saying, "Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison, ye came unto me." But that part there, "I was sick and ye visited me." And it's challenging sometimes when somebody is sick. People don't know what to do, how to expect. And going into a hospital or going into a hospice facility can be very intimidating. And I know the people there do the best they can generally to make it a situation where family members can come in. But that's one of the things you know, from my experience with hospice care, the workers that come in, the aides, the social workers, the chaplains, the nurses that come into the home, and they help the family to understand what's going on and make it a case where friends can come and visit somebody who is sick, somebody who we know what the end prognosis is, but at the same time, we can come in and help celebrate that person's life and encourage them and the family. And so I guess my question would be, how does hospice work in terms of helping the family, the extended family, not just the person on hospice, as we use that phrase, but the family?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because the premise of hospice care is to treat the entire family and patient as one unit. We don't just provide care for the physical needs of the patient who has the illness or affliction. We tend to the needs of the entire family and the support system. So by virtue of that, we provide a lot of education to the family on the caregiving needs when the hospice team is not available to be there. A lot of education regarding symptom management, which medications are for which purpose. And we not only address the physical needs, we address the emotional, spiritual, psychological needs as well. It's a holistic approach to ensure that this experience can be as good as possible for the patient and the family as they navigate this journey, whether it's days, weeks, months, and sometimes much longer than that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you think about this, you're talking about the medications and all that, and I'm sure that some people would be thinking and concerned, you know, so am I going to have like a pharmacy in my home? You know, how does that work? Because I've heard that, you know, they have, you know, pain management medications and all that, and I'm worried about having, you know, you hear all the stories about, you know, the legitimate problems that we have with people addicted to pain medicines and all that. So how does this work with, like, hospice and pain management? And do they have to have a pharmacy in their home, or what's going on here?
Well, and actually, that brings up a good point, because there's a common misperception that the role of hospice is to come in and over-medicate patients and to actually give them narcotics or opiates that speed up the process. Nothing could be further from the truth. So every individual case is evaluated on its own merits. Some patients require more medication than others, but categorically, we come in and we, on day one, we do a comprehensive review of the medications and discuss it with the physician, the patient, and the family. Most patients would prefer to take as few medications as possible and derive the maximum benefit. So, for example, if they've been on a multivitamin or they've been on a cholesterol medication or something that may no longer be useful or appropriate, we'll likely eliminate those medications. A lot of the new medication orders are prescribed as needed, if needed. So it's not our intent to over-medicate anybody, but we want to have them available if they are needed to ensure their comfort.
Right. And how do you go about doing some of these things in regards to with the family physician? Because I know a lot of times people are, you know, they have a close relationship with their family physician. And how does that work with hospice?
Well, and that's a great question, too. I kind of chuckle when I bring this up, but there was a rather famous individual who said some years ago, if you like your physician, you can keep him. Well, that, in fact, is true with hospice. So when we come out to evaluate or admit a patient to hospice services, they have absolutely the right to keep their attending physician, their primary care physician, if that physician is in agreement. They also have the benefit of the hospice medical director, who can stand in and write orders, order prescriptions, medications if needed. Sometimes the attending physician will agree to continue following the plan of care and defer to the hospice medical director only for the narcotics or opiates because it's out of their comfort level or out of their scope of practice.
Now, for a family that has a family member that's on hospice and they're receiving this care, and I know we're kind of focusing on in the home, but this also translates to in nursing home facilities, extended care facilities, assisted living facilities, and different places where you might find the patient when they come on hospice care. But as they're on hospice care and they reach that point where they begin to decline, some family members might be thinking, well, do they need to go to the hospital at the end? If something happens, should I inform or call, the ambulance? Or how does that work? What do they do when we come down towards the end of a patient's life?
Well, and there can be some variables involved there. So a large part of that depends on how well we have done our job as a hospice team, as a hospice provider, because we want to prepare the family for what is inevitable and what will eventually happen. So we have some written material as well as the education provided by our staff that help the family to understand what are the normal expectations? What are the physical changes that you're likely to see so that they have some knowledge in advance? And the nice thing about hospice is that we're available 24 hours a day. So if a family member sees a change in their loved one's condition and it's 10 o'clock at night or 2 o'clock in the morning, they simply call the hospice team mm-hmm. and the nurse is available to come out and address those questions or needs firsthand.
Right. And then, of course, like you said, that preparation, because really in our society today, this process of death and dying is largely removed, if you think about it. I mean, we're almost conditioned that people go to the hospital. That's where they go to die. They don't die at home. Whereas, a couple generations ago, it was the norm for people to pass at home surrounded by family and loved ones. And hospice kind of provides that, I believe, again. But that education aspect that you're talking about, that gets to the heart of how hospice is not just for the patient, but the family members. And what are some of the things that you had to educate people on, or some things that you think about when working with a family?
Well, and we have a helpful little pamphlet that we provide, and it goes through, it's not specific to any one diagnosis. There's a lot of misunderstanding about hospice being only for cancer patients, and that's not at all the case. That originally was a large segment of the patient population, but there's a standard set of clinical symptoms that across the demographic, whether it's heart failure, liver failure, respiratory disease, Alzheimer's, it matters not. There are certain physical changes that you're likely to see weeks in advance, days in advance, up to hours before the patient passes away. So we have this handy little pamphlet that we provide to family members so they can read through it. And then when those symptoms start to appear, they say, oh yes, I'm aware of that, I was expecting that. Now, not every patient experiences every symptom in the booklet, but it's certainly a useful resource guide and tool for the family to reference.
Well, and again, it takes away, I think, some of the fear of the unknown, because so many people in our generation, have just had this whole process of death and dying removed from their experience, and it's a lot of unknown, a lot of worry, a lot of concern, a lot of fear. And I really do think the educational part of this is one of the great things that hospice offers to families. And I guess kind of following up with that, if we think about the person who reaches that point, end of life, and we think about, the difference between somebody who's in the hospital and just, something happens, accident or whatever, and they die, as opposed to the preparation that hospice allows. What do you do for the family? Because, you're at home, your family member has passed. What happens now? I know you don't leave.
No,
obviously.
And that's a good question. So clearly, when we have a patient who passes away in their primary residence at home, the hospice team may well already be there before the patient took their final breath, or if we're notified after the fact, the hospice team comes out to the home. They take care of those final arrangements. So they will call the physician to notify the physician of the patient's passing. They will take care of calling the funeral home to make arrangements for the individual to be picked up. And then the hospice team stays in touch with the family for a period of up to 13 months and provides ongoing bereavement support to help them navigate the grief journey and work through that process. And there's a reason we offer that for 13 months, Al, because it will cover birthdays, right, the holidays, and even the first anniversary of their loss. So people might be doing well with the grief journey, and then something will trigger some emotions or feelings. We're there to help support them through that grief journey.
And that's an excellent point, because as a pastor, you know, oftentimes I'll do funerals for people. And one of the things that I'll reference during the funeral is, especially when it's a funeral where somebody's passed near the holidays and all, I'll talk about going through the holidays. We're just Thanksgiving, less than a week away. It's hard to believe. Week from yesterday is Thanksgiving. But when we think about it, you know, there's that empty plate at the table. There's that empty chair in the room, you know, when people would come together to celebrate. And like my wife was saying, that she was walking through, of course, her mother passed away last spring, and she was saying she was walking through the store and she saw chocolate-covered cherries. And that kind of triggered an emotional response, because every year that's what she bought for her mother for Christmas. First Christmas without it. And it triggers these little things like that. And that's one of the things, again, that hospice, I think, is tremendous with, being with the family after the patient has passed, still being there to answer questions, to help, to lend an ear, to help with the bereavement process.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We don't just pack up the equipment and depart on the day of one's death. We offer that support for the family throughout the remainder of that year. And in fact, we have an annual memorial service as well, where we invite the family members of all the patients that we cared for and provide a service to honor and remember them. It's by no means to replace a private family funeral, but it's a way that we can express our appreciation for having touched their life during a vulnerable time.
Exactly. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and we are talking about hospice here today with my guest, Mike Tripodi. And I hope I'm getting your last name right there.
Yep, Tripodi.
Okay, Tripodi. And he is with Grace Hospice, and we're going to be running out of time real quickly here. I want to give you a moment to get out contact information there. If somebody has questions about hospice, maybe they themselves have a family member, or personally, they're looking at a diagnosis situation where they know that there's really not much else that can be done medically, and they have questions, what would be their best course of action at this point?
Well, and again, they can visit our website at www.ghospice.com, or they can feel free to call me directly on my cell phone at 330-289-1567, and I'll be happy to point them in the right direction or answer questions to the best of my ability.
All right. And I hope if you're listening, you know, that you don't wait. I think one of the big problems people have with hospice is they wait too long. Tremendous services. Like I said, that extra set of eyes, ears, and hands, that extra person to be there to help answer your questions, and the resources that hospice can bring, whether you or your loved one are at home or in a care facility, wherever the case may be, hospice has such tremendous resources to bring, educational, spiritual comfort, I think emotional support, in addition to the medical support and treating the whole family. It's just a tremendous thing. Mike, I want to thank you for being with us on the radio today. And, you know, we've got about 2 minutes or so left in the program. I don't know if you can put into about a minute. What put you into hospice? What brought you into hospice?
Well, I've been a nurse for close to 25 years. I've done hospice nursing for close to 20 years. And, you know, speaking quite honestly, it wasn't really a calling or a passion that I was aware of at the time. It was more convenience, because I was a home care nurse and I was comfortable visiting patients in their home. An opportunity became available to work a different shift, and that's what led me into it. But I can't imagine doing anything else. I just have a passion for helping people, getting the care they need.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing, Mike, and not, I readily admit, not everybody is going to be able to get into the hospice profession. And I say it with a little bias myself, my wife being a hospice nurse as well. But the work that you folks do in hospice and hospice care, providing for families and patients, family members, it's tremendous. It is such a wonderful resource. And I thank God for people that are doing the work that you're doing. And thanks for being with us on Live with Pastor Al here. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And again, don't hesitate to contact if you've got questions. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. Have a great weekend. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.